You're very welcome back. You're listening to Global Village on News Talk 106 to 108. Do get in touch with the show by texting us here on 5316 at a cost of 30 cents. Earlier this week, the CEO of ActionAid International made his first visit to Ireland. He was here to attend a seminar focusing on the effort being made globally to have women and women's organizations pushed to the forefront of our communities. He joins me now on the line to discuss just that. Adriano Campolina, CEO of ActionAid International, you're very welcome to Global Village.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be talking to you.
Now, Adriana, before you tell us about the seminar and what you discussed at it, could you remind our listeners the work of ActionAid International, please?
It's with pleasure. ActionAid International works in 45 countries, trying to fight poverty, fight inequality, fight gender inequality particularly, and also to join forces with communities, organizations, various peoples around those people's organizations around those countries to build social justice.
It sounds very much up our street here, because this is what we do on our show. We talk about social justice issues. Of course, globally, we know if we can help the women and the girls, then it's all connected. Pretty much all the social justice issues are connected to those.
Now, definitely for us, the agency, the ability of women and girls to empower themselves, to claim their rights, to change their lives, is a fundamental part of building social justice. And that's why we do focus a lot with on working with youth and work with women and work with girls.
And let's talk about your own journey, Adriana, because you went from being a farmer to CEO. Can you explain how you ended up working with ActionAid?
That's an interesting journey. I grew up in Brazil in the countryside, and in one hand I was very involved on the students' movement, and that movement at that time, long time ago, was very involved into building democracy. That was the end of dictatorship, and at the same time I was a farmer. So those are my two passions. In one sense, social justice and building democracy and citizens' engagement. In the other sense, a very strong connection with rural issues. I used to be on dairy farming, which I know is very big in Ireland, as well as I was trained as an agronomist. And later in my life, those two things came together as I started working with community development in my origin province in Brazil, it's Minas Gerais. So I worked a lot with different smallholder farmers organizations, landless farmers organizations, and then I could finally connect professionally those two worlds. Of the rural development that I'm so passionate with the social justice and building equality.
It's so funny. I want to share something with you, Adriana. Just this week, I have a 2.5-year-old son, and we were playing with a puzzle, right? And it was a puzzle of a farm, and you know, the animals, and you know, and the cow goes moo and the sheep goes by, all that kind of stuff, right? And then of course there was a part of the puzzle. There's the farmer, a man pictured with a pitchfork, you know, and then a woman, you know. And I was, you know, I said to him, well, that's, you know, he said, who's that? I said, oh, that's the farmer. And then he pointed at the woman and he said, who's that? And in my head I nearly said the farmer's wife. But I thought, no, hang on a second. She's also a farmer. But this is this perception that, the farmer's wife, you know, she doesn't do anything. She's just baking cookies or something, or making pies and not actually working on the farm. But there's that perception, isn't that, that it's farming is very much a man's job.
Yeah, definitely. It's part of the gender perceptions that we build without even noticing that, as if farming is about the men's work. But the reality is exactly the opposite. You know that 80% of the farmers in the world are women, so 80%. And most of the food that's produced to feed all people in this planet is produced mostly by women farmers and smallholder farmers. So we tend to associate farming with men. We tend to associate farming with large-scale plantations. But the reality of food security is that who is actually feeding the world is the smallholder women farmers. And we're very proud as ActionAid to work with them very closely across the 45 countries where we have our community engagement.
So it's really interesting. So we really should be saying, oh, that's the farmer and that's the farmer's husband.
Exactly. And normally the farmer's husband is not working in the farm.
how interesting. Gosh, the revelations that come when you're, you know, seeing the world through the eyes of a 2-year-old. But let's talk about the seminar that happened in Ireland. It took place to assess how well we are doing at fulfilling the recommendations of the World Humanitarian Summit, the WHS, in Istanbul in 2016. Can you remind listeners what they wanted to see happen?
Yeah, the World Humanitarian Summit was a very important moment. I had the privilege to be there. But more important, I had the privilege to be there with 12 women local leaders that have themselves experienced a emergency disaster and have led themselves the process of recovery, the response to that. So in that meeting, global leaders came together basically to come to a few agreements to understand that the humanitarian system is not working and urgent change is required. Urgent change in terms of particularly ensuring that the money that goes into humanitarian response starts to work with local organizations. At the moment, this money is being pretty much concentrated in a very few organizations, 6 international federations and the UN agencies. They pretty much spend 80% of all humanitarian work. And what experience suggests, and ActionAid's been very experienced into implementing local-led response, is that this top-down kind of humanitarian response actually do not change things on the speed that's required and do not transform the relations of power in the communities and end up being almost a inefficient and wrong way to respond. So the summit tried to address it by saying we need to improve the role of local organizations, we need to improve transparency and accountability in the system, and more importantly, we also have to improve the ability of the communities that are affected to themselves lead the process of response, reconstruction, and change. So that was the summit tried to do through a number of commitments that's called Grand Bargain, and a number of countries are now signing up to that Grand Bargain.
Hmm. Yeah, because it's interesting that the terminology, Grand Bargain. Could you just explain how that's connected?
Yeah, I think that the main logic behind it is a understanding that structural change on the way humanitarian aid happens is required. So we have to do that Grand Bargain. However, what we saw was important rhetoric commitments, but they yet to be delivered in terms of a fundamental transformational change on the way we work. The world has seen a number of humanitarian events after the summit, but we are yet to really do the deep transformation that's required. For instance, we have agreed on that Grand Bargain that 25% of the humanitarian funds will be localized, will be spent by local organizations. We are very, very far away from that as yet, unfortunately. In some cases, we have estimates of only 2% is actually being done. So there is a very good consensus on the diagnosis that change is required, but not yet as many actions as we would have expected as ActionAid to deliver that, particularly when it comes to the recognition of the role of women and to the ability to bring women's rights to the center of humanitarian response and to see women not as a passive recipient of humanitarian aid, but actually the ones that bring the leadership that's required for lasting change.
Let's talk about localization. I know that governments and NGOs in developing countries are calling for it to be more commonplace, but what exactly is it?
That means like basically, I'll give you one example. I had the great privilege to work with Haitian people on the response to the earthquake a few years ago. And what's localization in that context? So you could have, for instance, on the first days after the humanitarian disaster, you have a number of organizations coming down to Haiti to make sure that we can distribute water, we can distribute food, and we can provide medical assistance. And then as the time goes by, it moves into providing shelter, providing provisional shelter, and then it moves into reconstructing and providing permanent new houses new homes in that particular context. Localization in that context is about who does it. Do you come to a community that was just affected by earthquake without no local knowledge and start distributing things? Or do you actually work with the pre-existing organizations in that community that will tell you very clearly who are the ones that need the most, who are the most vulnerable, where are the families that no one can see because they're in such a situation of distress that you cannot see if you are not from there. So that local knowledge understand what the need is, but more importantly, also shaping the response according to the needs of the most vulnerable is only possible if you work with the local organizations. So if you get someone, an expat that come from another country and start doing that response, it may easily ignore the needs of the most vulnerable. And that's where the localization is so important, because you can bring the needs of the most vulnerable to the center of the response, and you can make the response people-led and led by the interests of those that are affected.
That makes a lot of sense. Now, if people listening want to find out more about ActionAid International, where can they go?
They can go to www.actionaid.org. I can also look for us on Facebook and on Twitter. So we are every day in communication with through those media and trying to see how can we better connect our work, which is an interesting work that connects preparedness and disaster risk reduction, response to emergencies, also with long-term development and civic engagement for social justice. And on doing that work, we do have a strong focus on women and girls, because we believe that the agency of women, and particularly the agency of vulnerable women, is fundamental to really build lasting change on the lives of people.
Adriana Campolina, CEO of ActionAid International, thank you very much for joining us here on Global Village. Up next, Focus Ireland is calling on businesses to sign up for its annual Shine a Light Night Sleep Out. Find out how you can help.